Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Jerry hates Hayes almost as much as he hates Quebec City and Hamilton and Philip Pritchard.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan in here. It's a Maple Leaf game night. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30.
Yeah,
we're out of here earlier. Tonight.
Is the Tatman guns blazing today?
Tatman will be down at the ACC for the game tonight.
Wow.
Yep, he'll be doing his thing. And it's a big game with Dallas in town. They lost in Montreal last night. And a couple of storylines came out of that game. We'll get to those in a moment. Montreal winning every once in a while. Ottawa beats Tampa and Florida in their Florida
swing. Back-to-back situation, too.
But Edmonton's been winning some games, not last night notwithstanding, but... Yeah, just these bad teams, they're still going to get theirs every once in a while. Like the Leafs are in Buffalo tomorrow night. The Sabres, they can win that game. They just won a week and a half ago.
They can, but I think the Leafs will be a little bit more. I think you're aware of it. When you lose to a team like that, I think it sticks in the back of your mind.
You give them one bullet.
You
that's
give them
enough.
One and
you
like,
got
okay,
one.
That's enough. Be interesting to see if Ristolainen, because he's a pain in the ass to play against. Yeah, you know, Kadri doesn't have to fight him, and you don't want him to fight, but there is some animosity there. And regardless of what Ristolainen was saying, four more games or three more games, like you never want him to be a factor where he takes a run at somebody. You wonder if a guy like, we were talking about it yesterday with Johnny, the deterrence or non-deterrence, but do you dress Matt Martin tomorrow night just in case? I don't know.
Maybe against such a bad team where they're playing... for nothing.
Right.
The problem is Andreas Janssen is going to make his debut tonight. If he plays well...
Yeah, there's no reason why he comes out of the line.
You want to give him more of an opportunity.
Absolutely.
So if there's no injuries tonight and Janssen plays well and the team plays well, do you really want to mess with that? I don't know. I mean, Buffalo, who do they have there that's really going to do anything stupid?
Nothing, but I'm just saying, like that was my point, is I don't want Ristolainen to be a factor physically. And it'll be talked about tomorrow. It will be. Because, you know, it's quite fresh and Kadri fought him. I mean, we were trying to remember the last fight and it was, you know, a week ago.
I forgot about that. I was in Florida, so
yeah,
I wasn't really paying attention
I mean,
anyway.
I have no excuse other than I called the game and I'd called five games since then. But, you know, it's not a nightly occurrence. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be. I mean, a guy like that Roussel running around tonight, like, he's a dangerous player.
Well, he fought Carrick when they were down in Dallas. Wasn't really a fight. I think they both got five for majors.
Right.
But the Leafs, remember, they steamrolled Dallas.
Yeah.
That was one of the best games the Leafs had played all year in Dallas right before the All-Star break.
Yep.
And they really played well. And Roussel's role on that team is to bring energy on the fourth line and be an agitator.
Yep.
And obviously he was reading the tea leaves and he realized his team was asleep and the Leafs had been dominating. So he went out there and he hacked at Carrick, I think it was.
Yeah, and tried to stir it up.
Tried to stir it up. And that could end up happening. You know, if the Leafs are playing well tonight and if they're up, considering what happened last night with Dallas losing in Montreal, when they're in a playoff push themselves, they got to be better than that. You can't lose to a team like Montreal and not come back with a better effort tonight.
Yeah, the Leafs are rested, but they have to be aware that
they've been off for a while.
And Hitch will be on the warpath. That's one thing.
Big time. All right, Ray's coming up here in a moment. It's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
O's off for the week.
Yeah.
Jerry's percentage is scheduled to take place at 5:30 like it does every week. But my understanding is we have a voicemail from Jerry. We have
really?
A brief statement from Jerry. Do you want to hear what's on his mind
here? What's going on.
I'll keep this brief, and not because I'm interrupting your show, but because I'm interrupting my vacation. That's right, you pigeons. It's March break, and Jerry's poolside in a mankini getting gooned on pina coladas. And I'm here to tell you there won't be a Jerry this week. So for once in your life, get creative and come up with some new content. Jerry's out.
No Jerry's this week.
Wow.
Jerry's out with a bit of a subtle, not-so-subtle shot for the two of us to get creative for
kind
the first time in our lives.
By and the person who voices Jerry, I thought, but
Jerry,
Jerry himself,
who's on vacation. I guess he's down in where would he be? Mexico.
He's
somewhere vacationing, getting gooned on pina coladas.
Yes,
in a mankini.
Slight lazy move,
right.
But we will forge ahead. We will get creative.
So take that for what it's worth. And you know, sometimes he can be a little bit misleading. Sometimes he lies to the audience.
Yeah,
he can be downright abusive to guys like you and I.
Yes.
So we'll see. That's a statement from Jerry. I wasn't expecting that, but we'll revisit that in about 25 minutes. Ray's coming up here again in just a moment. I want to play this Univision audio quickly.
Okay.
Like the Jovinko goal last night, it was a beauty. A free kick in the second half, and that secured it. They knew at that point with two road goals, it was over. TFC was going to move on. But I was thinking about guys like yourself, guys like Ray, guys who call a lot of games, right? And call them with Gord Miller and Chris Cuthbert, who are
the best.
The best in the business and world renowned for their talents.
Yeah.
Univision is a Spanish television network.
Yes.
And their soccer announcers are lunatics. Lunatics. And I guess this was the home broadcast. Keep in mind, this is the home broadcast for the Mexican team.
Yeah.
And this was this guy on Univision's reaction to the road team in TFC and Jovinko scoring with that free kick last night.
No le gusta Nahuel el acomodo de la barrera. Allá va el disparo. Golazo. Gol, 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 golazo, 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 aso, aso, aso.
This guy is out of his mind.
That's the road team scoring.
Imagine if Dallas scores tonight and
Bonesy starts yelling about that when Sagan scores on a penalty shot.
That was crazy.
Like, how crazy is that? And they do that all the time for every goal. Like, what if the after all these years, the audience just hasn't had the stones to tell the guy, we don't like that.
Knock it off.
Please stop doing that.
Knock it off. Like, there are road announcers in the NHL that they sound like they're going to cry when their home team gets scored on.
They have stupid allegiances and bits, and sometimes it gets carried away. Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What would your reaction be if Chris Cuthbert did that to you?
That would be outstanding. I don't think he's going to have the range of voice like that guy, neither Gord. Like, I thought he was going to break out into song.
It was unreal.
Well, Ray, how about he stops and then gets going again? Like, play that right from the middle there, Mullen, right at the end of the first, like, long goal yell, where then he transitions into kind of a different octave a little bit.
Yeah.
Gord, 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 Gord.
All right, enough of this guy.
Now, I did a game for NBC a couple of weeks ago. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. It was before I went for the Olympics. It's all kind of meshed together. And they had the guy from Telemundo on. And so he was in the broadcast. We were kind of interviewing him. I guess it was a cross-promotion sort of deal. And we were interviewing him during the game. And then all of a sudden, Minnesota scored. And the producer jumps in our ear, and he's like, Alvaro! And he just grabbed the mic and did his goal thing. It was hilarious. I didn't know it was coming. And I had my hand on the cough button. I was like, I was dying down there. I'm like, how long is he going to go?
Wow.
It's something, I don't think this is stereotyping. Like, Spanish broadcasters, this is a part of the, like, journalism school or something coming up. Because he's not alone. They do this all the time.
Well, there is, certainly culturally, there's something to it, right? You guys have heard the Punjabi broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
They're
Nick
outstanding.
Bonino, oh, those guys are amazing. The Nick Bonino call from a couple of years ago was one of the best goal calls I've ever heard. My kids were walking around the house and going, Nick Bonino, Bonino, Bonino. Like, they were like 5 and 7 or 10 or whatever, and they thought it was the best. I'm like, but somewhere in there, I guess you've got to, you know, for us, we're talking about home and road broadcasts. You know, if Dallas scores, you know, I think we play it closer to straight than you know, like a national broadcast than most broadcasters do. like as you mentioned, Noodles, there's some home team broadcasts, say the other team scores and you think the guy's going to be a sobbing puddle. I mean, it's just we're just broadcasting the game. If it's a great play, I think you should have some enthusiasm for it. But
yeah,
it's
you're
the
right.
Home broadcast, you know.
I'm not going to say the names of the broadcasts. You could probably people can figure them out. I'll just but like of those cities. But like I listened to a game the other day where a guy got scored on the back door, and the color analyst, I thought he was going to cry. He was like, it went in the net. I'm like, yeah, it's in the net.
That's
like
what happens.
They're digging it out. Like, he was devastated. And it wasn't like a game-winning goal. It was like a 2-1 goal in the middle of the second. Like, it, you know, sometimes you have to, like, remove yourself from the allegiance. I mean, you know, Ray, you and I do Ottawa. We do the Leafs. So I've done Winnipeg recently. Like,
but
they
you
get
guys,
scored on. You have to be objective.
You guys wouldn't be considered home broadcasters, though. Like, you do regional games, but you do so many different teams, and you do
right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you were doing 82 Leaf games a year, you probably would have a different reaction. Or, Ray, if you were doing 82 Canucks games, you'd have to.
Yeah. You know what? Not only would you have to, but I think what also happens is, you're around so much, you end up, you know, the players a little bit. You kind of do hope for the ones that you like, you know, like you. I think it's impossible not to be more connected. So to be honest with you, I kind of like doing the games the way we do them. I don't really care who wins, and I can't make myself care. I just want to break down the play the way I see it. I try and have some fun with it. I think that's part of the broadcast too, but I just the over the top cheer for your guys, like maybe that's their directive. I don't know, but we don't get that, and I'm happy we don't.
No,
like for example, the other night we're waiting for a face off, and I don't know what the hell kind of music they're playing in Florida. It was some kind of rap thingamajiggy, but it wasn't rap. It was more techno. I don't know what it was. It was awful, and the linesman was having a tough time getting the centers lined up, and I just said, like, drop the damn puck so I don't have to listen to this music anymore. Like, it's got nothing to do with the game, but I'm like, my God, I'm going to go crazy here. And Gord, I think, spit out his tea upstairs there, but it was like, I don't know. I think the game should be fun. They should be, it's entertainment. We're watching because we want to, not because we have to.
Right.
I agree.
That's right.
I agree.
It's not public television. It's not,
no,
you know.
But you're right, getting back to covering a specific team, like, you know, Tyson Nash is a close friend of mine, and he covers Arizona. 82 games, he's there, he's around the team, he's on the team plane, like, he's close with some of the guys, because, well, Doan was one of his best friends, played with him. So, yeah, there is going to be a bias, no doubt, because he does, you know, the fans want to tune in that watch Arizona. They want to hear, they don't want to hear him, the players getting rinsed. But, like, Nasher, he's even said to me, he's like, you know, you have to give the guys the benefit of the doubt. But, I mean, was it the Rafi Torres hit on...
Yeah, it was in Chicago. It was on
remember,
Marian
he was like, the cleanest hit he's ever seen. And, like, Torres got, like, 25 games
he never
for
played
it
again.
You know, like, he was like, yeah, I might have had to walk back on that one, you know? Like, those you can't really get
that
around.
That was for the benefit of the Coyotes fan base, I would think, that direct comment. Well, and it's also about telling stories, and I would... think tonight, you know, we've got the game, so Bowen and Ralphie will be calling it for us on TSN Radio, and I would think they'll be focused on Andreas Janssen tonight, and probably only play 10 or 12 minutes, and most Leaf fans maybe have heard the name, but have never really seen him play, and you got guys like Nylander and Marner and Riley going tonight, and Anderson starting, and the only time you can see Sagan and Ben in town, yet a fourth liner is going to be a focal point tonight.
It's really interesting that they're bringing him up now, isn't it? Like, there does seem to be a little bit of a search for the right lineup. And if you get hurt, is Andreas Janssen is he a viable option for you? Well, you don't really know unless you get him into a few games to see how he is. And if he does well, he becomes an option for somebody that struggles in a playoff series. He becomes an option for somebody that gets hurt in a series. And, you know, coaches and managers would love to make sure they've got a couple avenues they can go down if you're in a playoffs that you hope goes more than one round. So I think it's pretty interesting. It's a great story. He's had a terrific year, and the guys that watch him say that, you know, when you watch him play, it doesn't take very long to see why they're so hard about him.
Yeah, they like him.
Like why he plays hard.
Yeah,
they like him.
Yeah,
hard
they do.
On it. And
they do.
He's just a kid, right? But how good is he at this level? I don't know. Well, get him in. The Leafs aren't going anywhere. They're finishing third. They're not catching Boston, but now they might be playing Tampa. So maybe, like, Tampa's now only up 4 on Boston. Boston's got 2 in hand, and they play 3 times. So what happens if that series turns into Tampa-Toronto? Maybe a guy like Johnsson becomes somebody that's more interesting because Tampa's got about 6 guys like that in the series.
Well, how would you handicap that? You were watching that firsthand last night. Vasilevsky, his numbers have really bloated over the past month, and Tampa, they had won a bunch of games, but people weren't paying attention. A lot of them were in overtime and a shootout. Like, a lot of them were late in games. They have not been steamrolling teams in quite some time. And you look at what Boston did. They were down 4-1 late in Carolina. They won 6-4 last night. Like, is it Boston or Tampa, you think, at this point?
Well, I'm telling you, Tampa's not going to beat anybody playing the way they did last night. The danger, of course, is, like, you know, Noodles and I go in and do a game, and we see one game.
Yeah.
And you look at it live, and you think they're either the best team in the world or they're never going to win another game. Last night, they were unreal for about 7 minutes. And then they gave up a goal. It was 1-1. They gave up a power play goal, then a deflected shot. And then it just, like, it never ended. They never looked like a team that has an idea how to lock down a game. Like, there was lots of rush chances both ways. You know, they're certainly very skilled, but defensively, they didn't strike me as a team that was about ready to play in the playoffs. Now, these 3 games against Boston, and they got the one next Tuesday against Toronto that we have. It's probably a good thing for them. Like, John Cooper, I think, is, you know, we talked to him in the morning. I think he's pretty happy that they're going to go ahead and play some, you know, play these 2 teams right now because they need a wake-up call. For 3 months, they've been kind of just wandering through the season. Nobody challenged them. They are good enough that they put the points on the board. But they didn't look very good last night, Brian. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston stings them here. But if Boston's banged up, which they are, it's not like it's a great prize to push hard to win the division and then you get the wild card team. Is that great a prize that you're going to rush somebody back? I think they'd rather to be just healthy at the start of the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, it really is. There are mind games going on right now with these 3 teams, with Tampa, Boston, and Toronto.
I thought I read last night that, was it Chara, Marchand, and somebody else were at the X-ray machine? Mm-hmm. After the game.
Was it Krug?
Krug. There was 3 guys that were significant pieces that were getting x-rays last night after the game.
And we haven't heard anything yet on that either.
Not good.
And McAvoy's out until probably at least the beginning of the playoffs, if not a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And Bergeron's not playing.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're getting, you know, guys on the fringe of their roster. Isn't it something? You play all year, you have a terrific year. The Bruins have had an excellent year, and they're a very good team. Yeah. And in the course of one night, as you mentioned, Noodles, there's 3 guys standing in a room. You don't want them standing in.
Yeah.
And you got to just hope that they get some good results out of it. But they're a very good team. The Bruins, I think, for the last couple of months, have been they've been the best team in this division for sure.
Yeah.
They've been better than Tampa. They've been better than Toronto. But if they're not healthy, I don't know what the heck it matters once it starts.
You're right. I had an assistant coach the other day say to me, you know, ask who I thought were the best teams that I've seen live. And, you know, I was talking Tampa. I thought Winnipeg. Like I said, Toronto's been really good, you know, Nashville. And he stopped me. He's like, for me, it's Boston. He said, like, he goes, I think Boston is a cup contender. And I said, well, you know, health and that. He said, it's just the way they're constructed, the way they play. It was an interesting comment because it was almost like he was waiting for me to say the Bruins, and the Bruins were a little bit farther down on my list than he liked, and he interrupted me. So, you know, health will obviously be a big factor, but, man.
Well, here's another thing. You know, sorry, Jamie, we're talking about Andreas Johnsson. Boston has the potential to add Ryan Donato, who was spectacular at the Olympics. He went back to Harvard. I don't know if you saw his hat trick goal the other night. He lost his glove somewhere in the rush,
yep,
and continued on and scored anyway. Like, he's a hell of a player. And so they would be able to add perhaps a significant guy that would be same sort of thing as Johnson. You don't really know, but man, he could be interesting.
Really strange scene at the Bell Center in Montreal last night. Andrew Shaw effectively knocked himself out by trying to knock out Greg Pattern. And, you know, he got Pattern pretty well, and Pattern wasn't happy about it, and I wasn't surprised he wasn't happy about it. If you go back and watch the hit, it was a reckless hit, and Shaw does that. He kind of just, he launches himself into guys. He's not the biggest guy. He's fearless, which I give him a lot of credit for. But he knocked himself out with the hit, and Pattern got up originally and started punching him and realized that he was out like a light and just said, uh-oh, I better stop, almost like a UFC moment. But right afterwards,
he doubled down.
He doubled down. I mean, generally in those positions, players are like, ah, I hope he's okay, it happens. Pattern was like, I'm not going down that road. Shaw's reckless. He does this to himself all the time. He said he's not surprised he gets concussed 4 or 5 times a year. And I got to be honest, based on the way I saw the hit, I understand why Pattern's disappointed. Like, it looked reckless to me, and if you're going to hit guys head-on head, they don't have to be happy about it.
No, I don't see why. You know, I mean, I guess you could come out and make some, you know, some politically correct statement, or you could go the way Pattern did. Don't forget, he's the guy, as you just pointed out, he's the guy in the hit. He was pissed. He was mad. And so he just let it, you know, he lets it fly. And there are guys that put themselves in positions to either hurt or be hurt a lot. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but if you're playing a style that puts everybody in danger, eventually you're going to get it, and that's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you either have to look at yourself and think about the way you play, or you have to keep playing with fire. And that's Shaw's one of those guys. You know, he always has been.
Oh, and everyone knows it. Like, the whole league is, they've circled
he's
a guy or two on every team.
That's
absolutely
the thing. He's got a reputation.
Yeah.
And he's earned that reputation through his play.
And vice versa, if Pattern hit Shaw that way, Shaw would have got up and dropped his gloves and tried to fight him. You know, because he'll fight, too. He'll fight anybody. He's a tough kid.
But the thing is, when you do it over and over and over again, the word gets out around the league, and you're not going to get any sympathy. That's just just the way it is. It was that way for years before. Remember, there was Jarkko Ruutu and Matt Cook and guys like that, and nobody had any sympathy for them. If they were ever going to get hurt, they're like, too bad. You guys run around try to hurt guys all the time.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's, it's not, that sometimes I think people forget that, you know, they want honesty from the players. Then when they get it, they don't like the honesty. And so you can't have both. And what Adam said yesterday, I don't have a problem with.
We were talking about how all of a sudden these bad teams, they're winning some games. Montreal won last night. Ottawa goes through Florida, and they win both games in back-to-back nights. Arizona's winning some games. Buffalo hasn't been as awful as maybe you expected. Have you picked up, either of you guys, you know, traveling the league and doing games, on any teams openly tanking? Because I haven't seen anyone, like, openly tanking to the point where you're like, okay, obviously that lineup's not what they could put forth, and they're trying to lose tonight.
I'll speak first, Ray, if you want. But, I mean, even go back to Mark Stone's comments the other day where he said, like, I couldn't care less about a 17-year-old right now. He goes, we're playing for jobs in here, and we're playing for each other. And, like, he's the type of guy I really believe. Like, he's not full of you-know-what. I played on teams that were losing. Never once did I be like, oh, I got to look forward to the draft, because to me, I was worried about my own job because I wasn't going to be there next year. They were going to rinse people out. So I haven't noticed it. Like, to me, it's the Leafs, I noticed it because of who they were playing in net and who they were calling
up. That's the thing. It wasn't the players. The players were trying hard, but Babcock and Lamoriello and Shanahan had a plan, and they're like, we're going to do what we can to lose tonight.
Right.
Well, I remember there was one game, and I'm trying to think who the goalies were. Bernier and Sparks, maybe, at that time. And there was another guy from the minors, too. They sent the one that was playing well down. and played the other one on a Saturday night against Montreal. I was like, for the love of God, you might as well have just left the net empty.
Right.
Yeah, it was Christopher Gibson or somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, like they basically, it was so obvious what was happening. I haven't seen that. And I also think the way they've changed the weight in the lottery, they've taken away the incentive to do that. Because you finish last, you got a 20% chance, which if people are any good at math, that means they realize you've got an 80% chance of not getting it.
Right.
And well, so it doesn't, you know, you finish where you finish, and it's not like you're going to win 15 out of your last 17 games and race up the charts. I mean, the same five teams are going to be in that bottom five for sure.
Yeah, as much as they're winning, yeah, they're going 500, you know, based on their past history.
Right.
That's an improvement, but it's,
you're
right.
You know who's making a reverse race here is the Canucks. They might not win again.
Well, but that's kind of what we expected coming into the year. Like, they may finish dead last. Buffalo and Arizona are right behind them.
And Arizona beat LA last night.
Here's the best part about that. Here's the best part about that from a fan's perspective in Vancouver. Everybody felt they were going to be one of the worst teams. They were telling people, no, we think we can compete for a playoff spot.
Delusional.
Like, yeah, you're like, seriously, look at what your team is and just be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were telling the people they think that they were going to have a chance at a playoff spot, and they don't.
No, and they never did. I find it hard to believe that was actually a genuine belief.
No, but did
like they, that sounded like we got to get people in the building.
They,
no, I know
they
that,
did
but,
say,
but
they did say.
Nonus and company used to say that here. The Blue Jays are doing it right now. You talk to Shapiro and Atkins on the record. Oh yeah, we're right there with the Yankees and Red Sox. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
And I don't believe you actually believe that you're right there. But on the record, you're going to have to say, yeah, please buy tickets and watch us on TV.
Please.
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 You know, and I feel like there's an element of that with Lyndon and Benning. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because if they actually thought this team was good enough, how the hell is Jimmy Benning getting an extension, and how is Trevor Lyndon sticking around?
Yeah.
Like, how does that make any sense?
I would have loved to have heard those meetings when they were doing the negotiations. No, it's right according to plan.
Yeah.
Which plan?
No kidding.
What the hell is this? What plan have we got?
Yeah. And then if they win the lottery, it's like, you know what? This was a great plan. This worked out beautifully.
This was a good plan. Yeah. Yes.
It would be. That would be the payoff. But you're right. I mean, talk to Colorado last year. They were dead last by a country mile, and they picked fourth.
Yeah.
Three teams jumped ahead of them. So.
Yeah, that's the end of people thinking, oh, gee, we should try this. Because the answer is it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You might get lucky, but you also might get lucky from the three hole and jump up and take first as well.
Right. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
All righty. We'll talk to you then.
There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options. I'm having a tough day, man.
Just chipping away.
Chipping away on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca. All right. We heard from Jerry earlier. If you missed that, if you're just tuning in, we'll replay his statement.
Yes.
We'll try to get to the bottom of what is going on with Jerry. Because he had a statement that has bothered the masses. People are not happy with Jerry.
Well, people are pissed. They expect
Jerry,
every Wednesday at 5:30
to be a professional.
And I'm kind of craving BPC. Like,
yeah, I'm with you on that. So
Portuguese chicken.
We'll replay the statement. We'll see what's going on here with Jerry. We'll do that next. All right, Tim Bezbatchenko will join us, GM of TFC, in about a half an hour. We've got to recall that, or revisit that Univision call last night.
For sure.
The Jovinko goal on the free kick was just an incredible call.
Now, the Florida Panthers in the playoffs, I think it was a couple years ago, had a guy who went nuts with a goal, too. And it was like Spanish Vision or something. Like, I can't remember what it was, but I remember it was like an outrageous call.
Something about these Spanish announcers. They go crazy whenever anybody scores.
I feel like they do it right, and I couldn't do that.
I couldn't listen to that all the time. There's no way I could. Dude.
In soccer, they score one goal a week sometimes.
There were five goals last night
in that game. I know.
Five.
That's an outlier. Like, a lot of times, you know, you watch a TFC game and they win 1-0. And it's a good game and it's lots of chances
and good saves.
But, like, for that one goal.
I'll give it to you if it's one goal in extra time and you know that's it, or if it's at the World Cup in the final This is the second leg of the quarterfinal of the Champions League.
I know.
I mean, I just...
But he is.
I couldn't do it all the time.
He was worked up. And I've got nothing but respect for that gentleman.
I respect the energy and the commitment to it. But I'm just saying, I couldn't listen to that all the time. Every once in a while, to have fun with it and goof on it, I couldn't listen to that the time.
This is how sick my mind works sometimes, but listening to that call, do you remember when Leslie Nielsen was the ump in The Naked Gun?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it reminded me when he kept, like, he called the strike, and then he was doing the moonwalk and splits and stuff. Because this guy wouldn't stop. He just kept going,
Mm-hmm. We'll replay it for you, maybe right before Tim joins
us. Yeah, I want to get that.
Get Bezbachenko's take on it. So, Jerry had a statement earlier in the hour. We should probably replay this statement, because if you're just tuning in, you're waiting for Jerry's percentages, you know that O is away.
Yep.
Somehow, from a coincidental standpoint, when O's away, Jerry's always completely out of whack.
Yeah, it is a little.
But here was the opening statement that we played earlier this hour from Jerry.
I'll keep this brief, and not because I'm interrupting your show, but because I'm interrupting my vacation. That's right, you pigeons. It's March break, and Jerry's poolside in a mankini getting gooned on pina coladas. And I'm here to tell you there won't be a Jerry this week. So for once in your life, get creative and come up with some new content. Jerry's out.
Very disappointing.
It is disappointing.
Very lazy, unprofessional.
I feel like that's, you know, if you have time off, the least you can do is help out.
Or bank something. Or find an alternative.
Exactly.
Get your sister Jerry Ann to come in, who we've been in the presence of many times in the past. Or give us more of a heads up.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Give us a little bit more of a heads up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's going on here?
What do we got?
It sounds like music. Poolside.
Where's my twisty straw for the pina colada? I've been tipping you clowns enough pesos to buy this resort, so make it snappy. Jerry, thirsty. Hello? Hello?
Jerry?
Am I on?
Yes.
Listen here. Forget what I said earlier. Jerry's in the mood to lay down some takes. So let's do this.
Wow, Jerry.
Wow, this is big.
After a couple of pina coladas and an extra half an hour, maybe he jumped on Twitter and Overdrive fans were chirping him. He's decided he's actually in the mood for hot takes.
I like it.
So we are going to hit Jerry's percentages, brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from two people to 300. Let Best Portuguese Chicken, BPC, do the cooking for you. Just head down to 942 the Queensway or jump online, bestpc.ca. So again, Jerry must be at a Mexican resort because he's been tipping the pool boys pesos, enough pesos to buy the resort, apparently. So, you know, he's having fun down there in Mexico, and maybe he was at the TFC game last night.
Maybe that was him on the call.
That probably is what happened. So we know the way this works. Jerry's got takes. We place a percentage on the likelihood of them actually happening. Let's see what Jerry has in store poolside this week.
Andreas Janssen will play at least one playoff game for the Leafs this season.
At least one playoff game for Andreas Janssen. He will make his NHL debut tonight. Jerry's saying we'll see him in the spring.
6%. Now, I mean, there's a lot of different factors. We haven't seen him play at the NHL level, so the guy could be...
Could be awful, and we've been talking about him constantly.
But it doesn't sound like it. I was just sent a note.
No, he's legit.
That, you know, I'm not going to say the Twitter name, I can't pronounce it, but was at Monday Marley's game with my dad. You're going to like this Janssen kid. Maybe short, but he's thick.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. He's a little Grit Grinder
type.
Well.
Yeah, but
they're not calling him up to give him a, like,
no.
This isn't house league where everyone gets a shift. He's here because he deserves to be here.
But you want health, and you've got depth. And it just, to me, yeah, he's a guy who would be an option, but you've got to make sure, like, let's not forget, Dominic Moore has tremendous experience, okay? Guys like that, they help you win playoff rounds. And Kapanen came up and scored, I know, and so that's where you're trying to draw parallel to it. But Kapanen's going to be an option. Levo's going to be an option.
He's playing. Like those guys are playing.
No, I know.
Levo won't play ahead of him. Yeah. I'm not convinced Levo will, but Kapanen will.
All I'm saying is those guys are playing, and it would take a lot. Like, there's depth there, but...
If there's no injuries, 0%.
Right.
For me, 0%, because once Matthews returns, Komarov moves back down to the fourth line. Komarov's not coming out, clearly, for Andreas Janssen. And I think Dominic Moore is the option up the middle, maybe even as a winger type. I think Matt Martin may be an option, depending on the lineup and who they're playing against.
I think he would be the
if they're healthy, 0%.
Third or fourth option, but...
If they're injured, then 100%. You know, if you get three or four injuries, he's going to play.
Absolutely.
But it's too difficult to predict that at this point, and knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen.
What was your percentage?
I said 0% if there's no injuries. Like, I think we know who the top 12 forwards are. Who are they going to take out? Connor Brown's not coming out.
No.
I don't think Kapanen's coming out. Komarov, Hyman, those guys are playing.
But health is a factor.
Yeah.
So that's why I left the door open.
Again. If they're all healthy, 0%. If they're not, then I guess I got to give them, you know, maybe 25% if there's an injury or two.
So are you 0 or are you 25?
Somewhere in between. 12.5%. Put me down for 12.5%.
Okay.
Alex Ovechkin will score more than 800 goals in his NHL career.
Well, he's got 600 now. He's 32. So you start crunching the numbers. If he plays another 8 years, doesn't need that much.
An average 25, really,
right?
A year.
That's exactly what it would be.
So
on top of the goals, he's still going to score over the remaining 12 or 13 this season.
Yeah, he'll get another 4 or 5. Like, can he get 50? I think it's a stretch, but I think he's...
I don't think he's hitting 800 because I don't think he's going to play until he's 40.
You think he's going back to the K?
I think
something?
So. I could see, like, Datsyuk did that. You know what I mean? I could see with Ovechkin...
Yeah.
In 3 or 4 years, like his contract's going to be up in 4 years.
Well, here's another thing. Nick Backstrom is a big part of that. Kuznetsov's a big part of that. Like if the Capitals don't have a nice playoff run here, they may have to break the band up at some point, and he may have some other players passing him the puck.
Mm.
Doesn't mean that he's not going to score, but he may just not be as prolific. Well, I'm going to be low on that just because of all the factors I just laid out.
Right.
You laid out.
Like, he's hitting 700 for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but another 100 goals on top of that.
18%.
Like, I'll go a bit higher because, again,
he's Alex Ovechkin.
He's Alex Ovechkin. And when you thought you could doubt him a few years ago, look how he's responded. And he's probably going to win the Rocket this year. If not, he'll be right there with Laine. And he's going to score a bunch of goals over the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But he needs to do it for another 7 or 8, I think, to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced he's going to be in the league or he's going to be in a circumstance to do that. I'll go a bit higher than you, 30%.
All right.
30%.
The Raptors will finish with 62 or more wins this season.
Well, it's an interesting one because their franchise record for wins is 56. They're going to blow past that. They've got 15 games left. They got 50 wins. So they'd have to go 12-3. They play Cleveland 2 more times. They play Boston 2 more times. They play Oklahoma City on Sunday.
Will there be a scenario where Dwayne Casey wants to sit a few guys down?
Oh, too? I believe so. I think once they clinch top spot, I think they'll sit a bunch of their guys.
I'm low on that. And not that I don't want them to. I just have to be realistic. Like 12-3... when there is a scenario where you can have some rest and make sure that you're healthy for the playoffs, I'm going to go 16%.
I can say 49%, just into the minority.
Okay.
But they don't lose.
They're capable.
They don't lose to bad teams. You know, even if Lowry doesn't play and DeMar DeRozan doesn't play, their bench is what we keep talking about. Their bench basically won them that game last night, and they still got games against some really bad teams.
Right.
And you know, I think they'll get up for the games against Boston and at Cleveland. I'm in the minority, just in the minority, but I think they're getting to 60 wins. I think they're going 10-5 for sure. So if I think they can get to 60, 62 is not that crazy.
Right.
I should point out, Scotty Mack has given away a pair of tickets to see the Raptors take on the Thunder this Sunday. Great seats down at the ACC this Sunday. Here's how you can win. You have to follow the station on Instagram, at TSN1050 on Instagram, and like the TSN1050 ticket giveaway photo. Tag a friend who you would want to bring to the game, and the winner will be announced on the Scott MacArthur Show tomorrow afternoon.
Tiger Woods will win a major in 2018.
You know what his nickname is, don't you? Same as Nick Foles. Loves it. I don't know how Jerry would know that. How would Jerry know that Tiger's nickname is the same as Nick Foles? Because I don't remember that ever going public.
Oh, really?
I've never heard that before. I think Jerry might be either lying to us or he's got inside information.
He's got inside information.
Tiger winning a major tournament.
From what I saw on Sunday, and I did watch, he looks like he's back.
Vintage.
Like that looked vintage.
Yet he didn't win. That's the crazy thing. No, vintage won 79 times on tour. He didn't win, yet he's back.
But he's close to being, and he's got not a full year, but he's got a good chunk of the year to do this.
He's got all four majors still coming.
I'm going to say 87%.
That high?
Yeah.
Maybe that's wishful thinking.
I just feel it's good. Like, a casual fan, you know me in golf, but it roped me in Sunday. I'm in a hotel room in Philadelphia.
The Tiger effect is unlike anyone else in pro sports.
Like, I would love to hear the ratings of what that was for Sunday.
I can tell you what they are. They dwarfed. Like, they were way larger than last year's U.S. Open, British Open, and PGA Championship. The Masters did better than them on the Sunday, but they did like a 5.3 share. Like, for golf, that's absurd. Like, that's a huge number. And it was all Tiger. It wasn't to see Paul Casey, you know, or Corey Connors.
Yeah, there's a Canadian kicking around.
No, it was like all Tiger.
I get it, but you wanted to see what Tiger
had
up his sleeve.
And I'd love to see him win. I would love to see him at Augusta win and charge on Sunday. But
I just think that there's a layer of destiny involved. And he's going to not give up until he gets back to where he believes he can get to.
Okay, I want to believe in that. I'm not 100% convinced he's going to be healthy for all four majors.
Right.
So you still have to remember, this is a guy who had a broken down body for the past decade. He's looked good for a month, but once a broken down body, always a broken down body. So I'm not convinced he's even going to make it through all the majors.
Right, right.
And listen, it's one thing for him to compete and almost win at the Valspar. It's another thing to win at the majors, something he hasn't done in almost a decade. So, again, I'm in the minority on this. I'll say 40%.
Mine's wishful thinking. 40%. But I think he's got a little bit of that aura, though, that may intimidate some of the other players.
Oh, he's feeling it right now, man. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see him this weekend. He's at Bay Hill at the Arnie Palmer, and be a fun weekend again. We've got one more Jerry's. We'll get to that in the 6 p.m. hour. It's a Mitch Marner Jerry's.
Ooh.
You're going to want to hear this, as Jerry would say. And the GM of TFC, Tim Bezbachenko, will join us in about 20 minutes.